Picture this. You give an AI coding agent a real bug from a real GitHub repo and tell it, fix this. It opens the code base, starts grepping around, makes a guess, runs the tests, hits an error, tries something else, installs a missing dependency, runs the tests again, finds its fix didn't actually work, takes a different approach. 40 steps later, it either submitted a patch or it didn't. Now run that same task 16 times in parallel. You've just spent a lot of compute. 16 separate attempts, each one a sprawling 40-step odyssey, each one tens of thousands of tokens of interleaved actions, terminal output, and partial reasoning. Here's the question the paper we're talking about today is built around. How do you pick the best one?
And the obvious answer is to vote on it, the way majority voting is done for math problems. But this completely falls apart. There's nothing to vote on. There's no clean answer at the end. There's a 16,000 token transcript of an interactive session.
Right, and you can't fit 16 of those into a single context window, even if you wanted to. So this is a paper from Meta Superintelligence Labs and a bunch of academic collaborators. It's called Scaling Test Time Compute for Agentic Coding, posted to Archive in mid-April 2026, and we're recording on May 1st. Quick note before we dig in, this episode is AI-generated. The script comes from Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7. I'm Hope, and my co-host is Finn. We're both AI voices from 11 Labs, and the show isn't affiliated with either company. With that said, the reason this paper is worth a full episode is that it doesn't just patch the voting problem. It reframes what test time scaling actually is when the unit of work is no longer an answer, but an entire interactive session.
And the reframing is the part I want to keep coming back to. For the last couple of years, test time scaling has been an incredibly reliable lever. You've got a math problem, you sample 10 answers, you take the majority. You've got a short coding puzzle, you generate a draft and ask the model to critique it. These recipes work. They've been part of the standard playbook. The thing this paper is saying, and I think they're right, is that all of those recipes share an assumption. The assumption is that the model's output is small enough and clean enough that you can compare outputs directly, or feed one back as the next input. Once you're in agentic territory, that assumption is just gone.
The image they use, implicitly, is a sports tournament. 16 teams, single elimination bracket, 4 rounds, 1 champion. Except the teams are coding attempts, and there's no scoreboard. There's just a judge, the same model that made the attempts in the first place, reading 2 attempts side by side and picking who did better. That's their parallel scaling method. They call it recursive tournament voting, RTV for short.
And the kicker, before we even get to how it works, is the prerequisite. You can't have a judge read 2 40,000 token rollouts and reliably pick the better one. So before any tournament happens, every rollout, winning attempts and losing attempts both, gets compressed into a structured summary. What did this attempt try? What did it observe? What hypotheses did it form? What worked? What failed? Once you've got that summary, comparison becomes tractable.
That's the load-bearing move.
The summarization step. Once I saw it, the rest of the paper kind of clicked into place. There's an analogy here that I think nails it. Think about how science actually works. A chemist doesn't pass forward instrument printouts and timestamps. They pass forward the write-up. Hypothesis, procedure, what worked, what didn't, what to try next. The raw data is unusable as input for the next experiment. The notebook entry is what propagates. These structured summaries are doing exactly that for coding rollouts.
Okay, walk me through the tournament.
16 attempts in parallel. You pair them up. 8 matches in round 1. Each match, the judge reads the 2 summaries and picks a winner. They actually run that judgment 8 separate times per match with majority rule, because you want the comparison to be reliable. 8 winners advance. Round 2, 4 matches, 4 winners. Round 3, 2 matches. Round 4, 1 match, 1 champion. That's RTV.
One of the cleaner empirical results in the paper is that the bracket structure itself matters. They tried the obvious alternatives. Just give the judge all 16 summaries at once and ask which is best. Or split them into groups of 8 and rank within each. Or groups of 4. The pairwise version, the bracket, beats all of them.
Which is intuitive once you say it out loud, but it's the kind of thing where you want to see the data. The intuition is that comparing two things is a much easier judgment task than ranking 16. A flat ranking forces the judge to hold everything in its head and produce a global ordering. The bracket replaces one hard global decision with many easy local ones. Same as why human judges in basically any domain prefer A versus B over rank these 20.
The second mechanism is where I think the real magic is. The tournament doesn't just stop at one champion. They take the top 4 summaries from the first wave, and then they launch a fresh wave of 16 new attempts. Brand new agent, brand new environment. Before this new agent takes a single action, it reads those 4 summaries. So the new attempts inherit context. Here's what 4 previous attempts thought about this bug, what they tried, where they got stuck, what they ruled out.
It's the relay race image. First wave of runners takes the course. Before the second wave starts, the 4 most informative runners write down what they learned, where the course gets tricky, what shortcuts didn't work, where they wasted time. The second wave reads those notes before the gun goes off. They call this parallel, distill, refine, PDR. Then those second wave attempts go through their own tournament, and you get one final winner.
So the full pipeline, end to end, 16 attempts, tournament down to 4, 16 new attempts that have read those 4 summaries, tournament down to 1, 32 rollouts per problem, plus all the judging.
And the headline numbers are real. On SWE Bench Verified, which is the standard benchmark of actual GitHub bugs from open source Python projects, Claude 4.5 Opus jumps from about 71% to about 78%. On Terminal Bench V2, the harder command line benchmark with stuff like recover this corrupted SQLite file, the same model goes from 47 to 59. Gemini 3.1 Pro on Terminal Bench, 53 to 65. Claude 4.5 Sonnet on Terminal Bench, 41 to 57. These are 6 to 16 percentage points of accuracy on top of frontier models with no training, just clever inference.
Which is the kind of gap that usually comes from a model generation upgrade. It's a lot, but it's also expensive, and we should be honest about that. 32 rollouts per problem, plus tournament voting, plus summarization calls, this is multi-x the compute of a single attempt. They're trading a lot of inference for those points.
Yeah, the cost is real, and they don't bury it. But there's a finding inside the paper that I think is the single most interesting thing in the whole experimental section, and it's the one that justifies the architecture in my read. They take all the second wave attempts, the ones that read 4 prior summaries before starting. They bucket those tasks by how many of the 4 priors actually solved the problem. Like, were the priors any good?
And the result is just almost too clean. When 0 out of 4 priors got it right, the new attempts succeed essentially 0% of the time, maybe 1 or 2%. When 4 out of 4 priors got it right, the new attempts succeed almost 100% of the time, 97, 98, 99. The in-between buckets walk smoothly between those two extremes.
The quality of the prior context essentially determines whether the next attempt succeeds. It's a near deterministic relationship.
Once you really sit with that, the entire architecture stops being clever and starts being kind of forced. Because what they've shown is that whatever you give the next wave of attempts to read, that's the ceiling. If you give them garbage, you get garbage. Give them a good seed, you get success. So now the whole question of test time scaling reduces to, how do you make sure the priors you pass forward are the good ones? That's exactly what the tournament is for.
The tournament isn't decoration. It's the filtration step that determines whether refinement amplifies signal or amplifies noise. Without RTV picking the priors, PDR is a coin flip on whether the second wave learns from successes or doubles down on the wrong diagnosis.
There's one more empirical thing I want to flag, because I think it's underplayed in the paper. The step efficiency. The refined attempts, the ones in the second wave that read prior summaries, don't just succeed more often, they succeed faster. Way faster.
How much faster?
For Claude 4.5 Opus on SWE Bench, the average attempt drops from 41 steps to 14. Gemini 3.1 Pro drops from 36 to 18. The agent isn't regrepping the directory structure. It isn't rediscovering which file the bug lives in. It isn't doing the dependency installation dance for the third time. The summary tells it where to go, and it goes there.
There's a great concrete example in the appendix, a Django bug. The first wave of attempts kept hitting module not found error mid-run because of missing packages. The refined attempt opens by saying, in effect, based on analysis of four prior attempts, I'll preemptively install asgref, pytes, and SQL parse. And then it goes directly to the buggy line and applies the fix in 10 steps instead of 40.
Which is the right way to think about what the summaries are actually doing. They're not evaluation criteria. They're inherited operational knowledge. The agent in the second wave is starting from a much more advanced point in the problem-solving process.
And it makes the cost picture a little less ugly. Yes, you're running 32 rollouts, but the second 16 are each shorter than a baseline rollout would have been. So the multi-X is real, but not as bad as you'd think from 32 attempts.
Okay, I want to push back on this because I do think the paper is good, but there's a steel man case I want to put on the table. The biggest one is the judge.
Yeah, Finn, this is the place I'd push to.
The judge in RTV is the same frontier model that produced the rollouts. They report judge accuracy in one of the tables. How often does the judge actually pick the better attempt when we know which one was better? And at the final rounds, it's running between 60 and 80%. That's a lot of error. And it's correlated error, because the judge has the same blind spots as the generator. If the model is systematically wrong about a class of bug, it'll be just as wrong evaluating attempts on that bug as it was producing them.
There's a footnote about Gemini 3.1 Pro specifically having unusually low judge accuracy and correspondingly weaker final improvements, which is a hint that the whole pipeline is bottlenecked on judgment quality. A separately trained, dedicated judge, the kind of thing you'd build with supervised fine-tuning or reinforcement learning on actual rollout quality labels, is the obvious next step. They explicitly say that, but it isn't tested.
The second thing I'd flag, Hope, is the bimodal collapse. The paper celebrates that more tasks reach 16 out of 16 passing after refinement. And that's true. For Claude on SWE Bench, the number of tasks where every single attempt succeeds jumps from 209 to 350. But the number of tasks where every single attempt fails also goes up, from 73 to 94.
Right. Refinement isn't a strict improvement. It's a redistribution. For tasks where the initial attempts were mediocre, the tournament can pick the wrong four to pass forward. And now the second wave is anchored on bad priors. So they flail harder.
Which connects directly to the context quality finding. If the priors are garbage, the next wave is garbage, deterministically. The aggregate average rises, the variance gets worse, and for any specific hard task, you might be worse off than just running 16 attempts and crossing your fingers.
There's also the framing of long horizon agentic coding. That phrase is doing a lot of work. They tested two benchmarks, SWE Bench and Terminal Bench. Both are English language coding tasks. Both have discrete pass-fail outcomes from automated test suites. Both fit on a single machine. Whether this same recipe transfers to multi-day software engineering work, web agents, scientific research agents, things without crisp test outcomes, that's genuinely open.
The summaries themselves are also a free variable. The whole pipeline rests on the assumption that the summary preserves the right information. But the summary is generated by the same model under a fixed prompt. They don't ablate summarization quality. If the model is bad at summarizing on some task family, and it's plausible it would be, since summarization is itself a skill that varies by domain, the substrate of the whole apparatus quietly degrades.
All those critiques are real. None of them undo the central reframe, though, which is the part I keep coming back to. For 2 years, the field's mental model of test time scaling has been more compute equals more capability. Sample more, think longer, make the context window bigger. This paper is making a different claim. For long horizon agents, raw compute hits a wall. 16 rollouts of 40,000 tokens each is a lot of compute. But if you can't aggregate them, if you can't compare them, can't summarize them, can't pass useful pieces of them forward, that compute is wasted. The bottleneck isn't generation, it's representation.
And that's a different research agenda. If the bottleneck is representation, then the next frontier isn't longer contexts or smarter base models, it's better experience artifacts. What does an agent's lab notebook look like? Should it be textual summaries, persistent code files, derived test cases, reusable tools the agent built for itself in an earlier attempt and now keeps around? The paper gestures at this in its conclusion. Today, prior experience flows through summaries. Tomorrow, it could flow through accumulating workspace state.
Which makes this paper feel less like a technique and more like a marker. It's the place the field stops asking, how do we make a single forward pass smarter? And starts asking, how do we make a sequence of attempts collectively smarter than any one of them? That's much closer to how human teams work than how individual humans think.
And the deepest line in the paper, the one I'd actually quote, it's something like, you can't select what you can't compare, and you can't reuse what you can't summarize. That's the whole thesis in one sentence.
It is, and once you've heard it, it's hard to unhear.
The paper is from Meta Superintelligence Labs and collaborators across UW, NYU, Carnegie Mellon, Princeton, and Google DeepMind, posted in April. We'll link it in the show notes alongside the related background reading on self-refine, self-consistency, and the original parallel distill refine work.
Thanks for listening to AI Papers, a deep dive.